U.S. This is the Buzz of the North. WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Derek Dennis. An attempted assassination, that's how the FBI and the Secret Service are investigating a shooting today at former President Trump's international golf course in Palm Beach, Florida. The suspect and a gun now in police custody.
In the bushes where this guy was is an AK-47 style rifle with a scope, two backpacks which were hung on the fence that had ceramic tile in them, and a GoPro which he was going to take pictures of.
Palm Beach County Sheriff Rick Bradshaw, the gunfire heard within Trump's earshot as he golfed on the fifth hole.
The FBI has now taken the lead on the investigation into a shooting that took place on or near the Trump International Golf Course in West Palm Beach, Florida. In a statement email sent in the minutes after the incident, Trump says he is safe and well. The White House says both President Biden and Vice President Harris have been briefed on the situation. Harris posted on social media she is glad the former president is safe, adding violence has no place.
A Venezuelan official says three U.S. citizens have been arrested on suspicion of plotting to destabilize the country.
Venezuela's interior minister is making the allegation and also claims the three are CIA agents and that 400 weapons were seized. The U.S. State Department says it can confirm the detention of a U.S. military member and are aware of unconfirmed reports of two additional U.S. citizens detained in Venezuela. And the State Department denies U.S. involvement in a plot to overthrow President Maduro.
ABC's Chuck Sievertson. Venezuela also says two Spanish citizens and a Czech national were arrested as well. The numbers are in from the weekend box office. Number one again, Beetlejuice, the reigning king of the weekend box office with $51.6 million in ticket sales. Second place at the box office went to the horror flick Speak No Evil, which came in at $11.5 million. And Deadpool and Wolverine placed third, raking in $5.2 million. I'm Derek Dennis, ABC News.
The kids are heading back to class, but when the subject is school, we have to talk about the first kindergarten started in Wisconsin. Marguerite Schurz created what is known as America's First Kindergarten in 1856, teaching a small class at her family's home in Watertown. It's about 50 miles west, northwest of Milwaukee. So can you guess, when did kindergarten become part of the state's public school system? The answer coming up. Schurz learned about kindergarten in Germany, where the idea was common. It wasn't in America, and her class grew so quickly, she had to move to a bigger space. Today, the building remains as a Watertown museum. So did you guess when kindergarten became part of the public school system in the state? It was 1898, but 42 years prior, the Schurz School started it all, making this a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm James Kelly with WBZH News, your news roundup in quick podcast form. Find it anytime on the WBZH website at buzzofthenorth.com.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Congress has about 2 weeks to pass a bill to keep the federal government running. Advocates say they hope consumer protection efforts don't face budget cuts. Mike Mohn reports.
Over the summer, House Republicans floated cuts in certain areas, including a 27% funding decrease for the Federal Trade Commission. Aaron Witte of the Consumer Federation of America says the timing couldn't be worse for that type of move.
We've seen people talk a lot about feeling like their costs are increased in lots of ways. And the FTC's work is really aimed at trying to lower a lot of those costs to bring some fairness back to the process.
Last month, the agency co-hosted the first meeting of a task force about whether companies are price gouging and the impact on consumers. GOP leaders on the Appropriations Committee say they want a financial services bill that prioritizes combating terrorism financing, maintaining the integrity of financial markets, and spurring small business growth. Witte contends the FTC has made progress in standing up for consumers with great efficiency. She points to the proposed click-to-cancel rule that would remove barriers for people worried about recurring charges for an unwanted subscription for a service or product.
That would make it as easy for someone to cancel a subscription as it is to sign up for it. And that proposal has gotten thousands of comments from consumers about how much time they are wasting on things like unnecessary subscriptions.
And the state-level organization Opportunity Wisconsin has also cited concerns about consumer protections being gutted. It's unclear if any of the budget ideas floated over the past several months will find their way into a final spending plan. This is Mike Moen for Wisconsin News Connection. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
You're listening to Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, slight chance of a thunderstorm. Otherwise, mostly sunny and a high of 82. Partly cloudy, 60 tonight, 82 and mostly sunny for Monday. For Tuesday, sunshine and breezy with a high near 81. Remaining above normal for Wednesday with a high near 80.
Right now, it's 82.
Dom Salvia.
Next time, join me as we start the new week barely towards the presidential election. We'll have a week full of special guests, celebrity hosts, and you. Tune in.
The Dom Salvia Show, weekdays 4 till 6. You're listening to The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
From the rolling bluffs of the Driftless region to the pristine shorelines of Superior in Michigan, from the Northwoods to the Kettle Moraine, Civic Media broadcasts across all of Wisconsin.
For all of Wisconsin.
Take a trip with us across the radio network to hear from communities throughout the state. This is the Civic Media Spotlight.
Welcome back to the Civic Media Spotlight. Up next, we go to Mino and the Mayor, where Jim and John this week welcomed in Jim Mitchell, president of the Green Bay Gamblers, and from Blue Green Events, joins to talk about the upcoming Old Fashioned Fest on September 21st. The guys talk all about the state drink and how it brings us together.
Coming to Northeast Wisconsin live from the Civic Media Studios and featuring TV and radio broadcast veteran John Mino, along with the City of Green Bay's longest-serving mayor, Jim Schmidt. This is Mino and the Mayor. Begin the day with a friendly voice, a companion unobtrusive. And here are your hosts, John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
Hey, thank you very much. Welcome back. Mino and the Mayor here in a great-looking Thursday, great-looking forecast, and we've got something great to look forward to coming up in a few weeks.
Oh, man.
We've got Jeff Mitchell here talking about Old Fashioned Fest. Jeff, you kind of wear two hats a little bit. Tell about your career here.
Yeah, so I'm the president of the Green Bay Gamblers hockey team, and then I'm also the president of Blue Green Events. And what Blue Green Events is, we put on shows like Old Fashioned Fest and Craftoberfest, the RV and camping show, the boat show, etc. And what we're talking about today is Old Fashioned Fest, which kind of the genesis of this event really is just the love affair that Wisconsin, especially Northeast Wisconsin, has with the Old Fashioned.
Oh, yeah.
And obviously we have some great partners with Badger Liquor. And together we put together this event. Got the first time around was in April. We had about 12 bars participate, and the event sold out like in 10, 15 minutes. And we like, well, let's bring it back in for a fall edition. And again, we got 13 bars this time around. And the feedback we received from people who not only participated, but also the bars who are all local was fantastic. And again, we're really excited about this event.
So tell me about the event. Like, how does that work? It's an old-fashioned fest. You got 13 bars participating, yeah. promoting their own.
So what it is this all takes place in the Nicolet Bank upper level of the Rush Expo. The bars each get a booth. They're in a horseshoe, and you basically go bar to bar at the expo. Each bar will make a Wisconsin traditional old-fashioned, which is either brandy or bourbon, and then the sweet, sour, or press, whichever they decide. And then the other old-fashioned they make is really cool. It allows them to kind of use their mixology skills. It's a new old-fashioned. So we have, you know, people who do vodka, people who do gin. They do tequila, mezcal.
Really?
We actually had one of the bars ask us, can I light something on fire? We're like, well, let us check the code on that.
Some guys, when I was in Mexico, we were doing the IXX trip, and I ran into some guys they're all from Canada, all hockey players from Canada. It was their bachelor party, and I just hooked up because we spoke the same language, you know.
Yeah. You got me.
Yeah, and they were drinking some kind of shots that they'd light on fire. And they're like, you got to do this with us. And same thing, and that's the time I tried finding my way back to my hotel room.
Oh, yeah.
And I knocked on the door, and a guy goes, who's there? I'm like, What are you doing in my room? And he opens the door and he's like, you got the wrong room, buddy. Oh. So I walk all the way back through like the jungle. Look at the map. Look at the map. Look at the map. Go back. Same guy. Who's there? Ended up sleeping on a bench.
Yeah, sleeping in the lobby.
Yes.
First one of the continental breakfast in the morning.
As the people who are going to breakfast, I'm sleeping on the bench. Yeah.
The old-fashioned fest that's taking place, what is it, 21st?
Yeah, September 21st, right. Which is Saturday, and, 6 to 9.
Tickets are available now. Do people vote, or how does that work?
Yeah,
is there a prize?
So what we do is...
Who can stand after... 26 well, old-fashioned.
Yeah, and again, you know, it's an event. It's not a turn and burn type event,
right,
where people are just power drinking. It's
no.
You know, these people are like
connoisseurs, right? They're
connoisseurs
testing.
Of it. They like, you know, the old fashioned, just this iconic.
And there's so
drink.
Many variety. I mean, right. The options are you were saying, limitless. What you can how you can make an old fashioned.
Jim, so if when you guys come, when you enter, you get 3 poker chips. And you walk around, and like we have a bourbon street, so the bars that are going to do a bourbon will be on one side,
that's
brandy
cool.
will be on the other, and you go and test, and the drink that you like best, you vote with your poker chip by putting it in a glass fishbowl at that booth.
Oh.
So it would be labeled Bourbon, Wisconsin. Okay, I like that one the best. And then we add up the poker chips. Whoever has the most gets the best in glass award at the end of the night.
Fine. We were talking beforehand, what is brandy the most prevalent over whiskey? In Wisconsin?
You know, being not a native of Wisconsin, I can tell you, like, our bars are split 50-50. So out of the 13th, I think we're at 7 brandy, 6 bourbon.
Oh, wow.
So
wow.
I think it's what you like. I think if you like old fashions, you probably have your go-to, right?
Right. And, we were talking, Bloody Marys have kind of gotten away on, it's almost a carny drink. They put chickens and hot dogs in. But the garnish... For old fashions, it's got to be a little bit of the presentation.
Yeah, cherry, orange, I mean, syrups. You know, these bars have their own bitters that they're doing. Like,
and
it's crazy. Yeah,
some
they
of them
model
grind them.
It.
Yeah, I know, that's
I mean,
cool.
It's an art. It's really an art.
We were talking earlier, one of our guys brought us some brandy with honey. It's honey infused.
Okay.
And he said, that's really good now for old fashions. Have you heard that?
I haven't. And again, like, I got to be honest, like, I'm not a big old fashioned guy.
Okay.
I mean, I'm a...
What, tell us about, are you a beer guy? I know you're here to talk about the old fashioned, but talk about some of the other things that you do.
So we do Craftoberfest, which will be October 5th, and we've been doing that for probably 10, 11 years.
That's coming up.
And again, you have over, you know, 50 or 40 type craft beers from all over the state, you know, a lot of locals.
Well, that's the problem. Like, I always tell people this. I'll taste something that I really like, and I can never remember if I go back
you gotta
to some place to try to find that again.
It's like a romance novel. It's got like all these different things.
Yeah.
Oh, this beer's got nuts from Idaho.
Exactly. Exactly. Can you name the bars that are taking part?
Yeah. So the cool thing about Old Fashioned Fest, too, is all these bars are local with Northeast Wisconsin. Our goal really is, you know, not only is for them to really showcase not only their skills, but also bring some ROI to their location. So that's the cool thing, too. Like, hey, when you go there, you know, these bars are like really showcasing who they are and, you know, promoting what
absolutely.
They are. But here's kind of our roster. We have Z54, which is down in the valley. Great little spot. White Dog, which is right here on Broadway. She's got an unbelievable place. The Turn.
You go there, don't you?
Oh, yeah. I like that place
White
a Dog's lot.
A,
I mean,
White
it's,
Dog's
I worked over on
well, this. Is Michael texted, Wisconsin drinks more brandy than the rest of the U.S. combined.
Perfect.
Wow.
Listen to him. Perfect. Most people say, wow. You're like, perfect. Gee, what's your business?
We got customers.
So that White Dog is what I don't want to say homemade, but it's just very unique to
it's
that
awesome.
District. It's just a very cool spot. And like I said, I work over at the homeless shelter, so I walk down there a lot.
Yeah, anyway. Tiana Burton is the proprietor there and does a great job.
Yeah.
The Turn, the Legacy Hotel, which is new, Tavern.
You know what? We've had the Legacy on here. Okay. The guy who...
They're mixologists.
The mixologist is from Michigan, isn't he?
Stevenson.
Okay.
And he came in here. He actually made... Old fashioned,
right
where you're sitting.
I knew we had
that was
some
like
in
a,
here once.
That was like
that's
a year ago.
Was.
That was over a year ago. He was
that's
here.
That's who it was.
He, like, I don't know if that's a legit term. He's not a bartender. He's a mixologist.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
So, and it was unbelievable what he brought in. And I think he did a little of that smoke thing, too. Or he talked about it. We may have let him do it in here. But anyway, that's... he's going to be – so Legacy is there.
Yeah, so they were there in April, and his old fashioned was like it had a marshmallow in it. I think it was like a campfire type thing. It was really cool. Tavern in the Sky, which is on top of the Lodge Kohler.
Yeah.
Sturgeon Spirits, which is down in Oshkosh. They distill their own spirits, which is cool. Paradise North Distillery. The OC. Lost Key Tap. Lost Key Tap's great. He's down in Wrightstown, right on the river.
Let me back up to the OC. Where?
It's the old Fratello's.
Okay, all right.
By the Aloft
I know where it is. I know where it is. Okay, I knew I knew that. I've been there. Okay.
Iron Duck, which is very popular.
What? Everybody goes there except me and Johnny.
Last two basketball coaches for UW Green Bay, the first time we've talked to them.
We always ask them, what's your favorite restaurant?
And Sonny?
Sonny.
Iron Duck.
We're like, where's that? Oh, right on line, whatever.
I think it's north.
The other night, had him at the football game. The new coach, Gottlieb, came up to the booth. I interviewed him at halftime. So have you ever found, you know, a good place? Oh, man, a place called the Iron Duck. How did this happen? Two guys for two places, like I said, we've never been to.
Yeah, I got to get there. I mean, I've been to most of the places you're mentioning, but I got to get there.
Caleb Suda is the provider there. I know Brennan Bruss, who's the president of PMI. That's his go-to, but the Iron Duck's great.
Okay. All right.
Chives, again. Oh, Chives, award-winning restaurant.
Yeah.
Bay Area Burger, which is a new restaurant, I believe, right downtown.
He's been here.
And then 1919 Kitchen and Tap.
Awesome.
Awesome.
That's Lambert.
Fantastic.
That's, wow, you got some great places that obviously serve good old fashions, but they also offer a plethora of other things too, right?
Oh,
you
absolutely.
That's some awesome food at those places you're mentioning. So,
and that's point two, along with their skills, we're like, hey, showcase your menu, do this. And then our chef, Chef Nicole, has a great spread of food. We also have a couple of groups coming in to sample. Door County Coffee does like an old fashioned brew. They'll be there. Old Smoky, which is blowing up.
It's huge.
J. Henry, which is a Wisconsin-based whiskey, and then Castle and Key. So people can sample those, too. So, again, you're getting the full gamut.
I mean, people might, we've talked about this a little bit. Like some of the places you go with the bourbon, you could have an old-fashioned that you're putting in, you know, $100 a shot bourbon in some of these if somebody wants to get real serious, right?
Yeah, you're not.
If they wanted to.
You're not drinking Kesslers.
Things have changed.
This isn't breaking into granddaddy's old medicine chest, John.
Wow.
Yeah. That's amazing.
This is high-end stuff. And we have Maker's Mark and Copper and Kings are like the two. Those are the two ones for the
high level, but still not crazy expensive.
Yeah.
But you know, you're talking Casamigos, you know, Paradise North and Sturgeon Spirits. Those are really high-end distilleries that they're bringing down.
So, I would imagine there's any. Was it Van Winkle's? Isn't Van Winkle's crazy?
No, Pappy. I mean, that stuff's hard to get. Yeah. And again, but
that's basically a collector's item now, isn't it? I mean, if somebody has the bottle, do they really open it?
Well, yeah, and you're not on a fixed income if you're drinking
right,
Pappy.
Right, exactly.
Maybe
Herb
Kohler, I think, might have his. Maybe that's what he puts on his
cereal. Yeah, we auctioned one off at a golf tournament. I want to say $1,400 it went for. I think it was Pappy 5 or something like that. One of those. I mean, it's mind-boggling.
Yeah, that is. That's
but part
crazy.
Of their thing is they've done a great job at not allowing too many bottles to be available.
You know, what's cool about this old-fashioned, like this is a draw to Wisconsin. I don't say it's a badge of.
But it's ours.
It's ours.
Yeah.
And like you said, we drink more old-fashions than a whole 49 other states combined.
And like we were talking earlier, that's the one drink. I know you're not an old-fashioned guy, but that's the one drink you can drink with your meal.
People will, in the middle of the meal, they'll order another old-fashioned. Like, I don't, you know, I don't drink anymore, but when I did, it was always.
But you don't even think about it.
I didn't even get to the meal.
But again, you wouldn't order a 7-7 or a Kessler's and. Whatever.
During your meal. Before or sometimes after. Yeah. But anyway, this is cool.
Stick around.
All right. We're going to talk a little bit more about some other events that you do. And what's the name of your company again? I know you're PMI, but.
Blue Green Events, which is a branch of the PMI Entertainment
Group. Blue Green. You got to tell me how you came up with that. Okay.
Break.
Mino and the Mayor is part of the Civic Media Radio Network and airs on WISS and WGBW weekday mornings from 6 until 9. To learn more about this show and all of Civic Media's programming, check out the website at civicmedia.us/shows.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
There was a time when barbecue was perfect. A strong, reliable flavor that could be counted on. But then big manufacturers decided that barbecue needed to be zesty or spicy or sweeter or whatever. If you miss the good old days of great tasting barbecue, we'd like to introduce you to Grandpa's Barbecue. made in small batches from Grandpa's original recipe. Buy yours online today at grandpasbarbecueshop.com.
Get ready to go for the green or gold with Civic Media's new Text to Win contest. When you go for the green or gold, you could win $100 cash, gold jewelry, and be entered to win our grand prize, two indoor club-level seats to see the green and gold in Green Bay. Download the free Civic Media app and get ready to text in for your first chance to win in this statewide contest starting Monday, September 16th. Get ready to go for the green or gold with your local Civic Media radio station. The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Next up on the Civic Media Spotlight, we go to the Todd Alba Show, where this week he welcomed in Michael Cohen, former Trump fixer and administration aide.
Truth, wherever it may lead, and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Todd Alba Show on the Civic Media Radio Network, 20 past the hour of 1 o'clock. Stay tuned. We will get to our Todd and Phil's just a bit outside text to win trivia or a contest here. After the bottom of the hour, your chance to win tickets to the VIP world premiere of Just a Bit Outside, the story of the 82 Brewers, but we are delaying that, and happily so, to make room for our very special guest today, Michael Cohen, former Trump fixer and attorney, but more importantly, now author. Two great books out, another one on the way, Revenge and Disloyal. Also has a great podcast called Mea Culpa and a brand new YouTube channel called The Michael Cohen Show. Michael Cohen, we appreciate you being here. And our friend and colleague, Matt Flynn, an attorney and two-time chair of the Democratic Party and author himself, joining via phone from Milwaukee. Let's get into the really important stuff, Michael. How's the relationship really behind closed doors with Melania? Do they hate each other? Does she love him? What's the deal with Melania?
Obviously, it doesn't take anybody, right, who's able to see that there's a lot of rift going on between the two. She has no interest in being around him for obvious reasons. It certainly didn't help his relationship with a porn star when she had just given birth to Barron. She's more concerned about Barron than she is about him. And she's staying away. She's had very little to do with this campaign other than getting paid for her hair and makeup or to be paid within which to speak. I mean, that really goes to show you the level of the grift of this family. I think that is even worse than Lara Trump's recent release of that song, right? Which is just, again, it demonstrates the level of grift that these folks are willing to go to in order to make a buck. And this isn't normal for billionaires, right? I mean, I know plenty of billionaires. Nobody has this going on, selling bitcoins and selling sneakers and, having their daughter-in-law, who's the vice chair of the RNC committee, going ahead and trying to increase her music career. Right. This is different than anything we've ever dealt with in U.S. history before.
I'm going to give Matt Flynn another question here, but before I do, kind of a quick two-parter. Is the ketchup thing real? Does he really throw plates or ketchup bottles against the wall when he's ticked off? And B, what really gets under Donald Trump's skin? What actually bothers him?
Me. I bother Donald Trump because he believes that everybody should have total fealty to him. Mm. And the fact that I have come out and I have spoken, remember, Mueller, 7 congressional committee hearings, not the one you all saw on TV. I did that 7 times. Mm-hmm. On top of that, the Manhattan DA, the New York Attorney General, $495 million, right? Now 34 criminal counts. Yeah. I get under his skin. As far as throwing things, yeah, I've never seen him throw ketchup. He likes ketchup too much.
Matt Flynn?
Yeah, listen, Michael, one of the things that I was fascinated by, and it disturbs me about the guy, you mentioned in one of your reports that when you drove down to the congressional hearing, you thought you had to be disguised. I think you wore sunglasses and a baseball hat, and I know you've been attacked. How much he apparently relishes people threatening his critics, you know, hang Mike Pence, that kind of thing. How much do you think he knows about the details? How much is he behind it? Or is it just that he's ginning it up by his vicious public attacks?
He knows. He knows and he relishes in it, just as he did for those 96 minutes. My friends, listen to me carefully on this one. For 96 minutes, he disappeared while police officers, while the People's House were being ransacked and vandalized, all right, while there was an attempt to try to hang Mike Pence and to kill Nancy Pelosi. I know this guy like I know the back of my hand. He sat there, which ultimately, and I said it on the spot, he was enjoying it, which is why he didn't call for any backup, because he was enjoying watching these people doing what he obviously is too scared to do and wouldn't do on his own, but watching them do what he truly wanted, wearing MAGA red hats, carrying Trump 2020 flags along with MAGA flags. They were doing it in his honor, and he wasn't going to stop it.
Absolutely incredible. I think that's...
No, it's more like it's disgusting.
It is disgusting.
Disgusting, right.
But that was a great question by Matt. I appreciate your transparency, Michael Cohen, because these are the things I think that we, sitting at home, I had a small business at the time in 2021 watching this on my TV, and you wondered, is the guy that shallow, or is he just dumb, or is he actually enjoying it? And unfortunately, you've confirmed my worst fear that the guy actually enjoyed January 6th.
And he did. And he did because, again, it was in his honor. And he wasn't going to do anything, despite the fact that everyone around him, including his own kids, were saying, hey, Dad, you got to make a call. You got to call this off. Go out, go on television, tell people to stop it, go home. You need to do something. Did he do it? No. Why? Again, for the same reason I said before, it was being done in his honor and he was enjoying it.
This show goes out to all parts of Wisconsin. I'm a former Republican. I know that we have Republicans that listen to the show. What do you think, and there's a segment that's never going to leave Trump's loyalty land, but what do you think that people who might be moderates or kind of center-right-leaning people, what is the message for them that you have today?
If you truly care about democracy, if you care about constitutional rights, if you care about America's democratic republic, there is only one decision that needs to be made in November of 2024, and that is you must make sure that you are registered to vote. So go to vote.org and make sure that you vote up and down ballot blue, voting for Kamala Harris and Tim Walz in 2024. Vote like democracy is on the line, because it is.
Matt Flynn.
That was an excellent, excellent statement. And the only thing that I would leave you with, Michael, you know, a lot of people admired your telling the truth like this. I'm just concerned about ongoing threats to the FBI, to election commissioners, and to you, guys like you. So I hope that there is some thought being given to protecting people from attack, because I'm convinced, especially after what you said, that Donald Trump is actually part of this. And part of this intimidation of people who criticize him.
Michael Cohen, we have less than a minute left. About 45 seconds is all yours.
Unfortunately, it's going on. Not only have I been doxxed and swatted, they just swatted my 89-year-old father and my 81-year-old mother. I'm talking about dogs. I'm talking about helicopters. I'm talking about FBI agents carrying AR-15s. You know, everything. This is not normal behavior. It's done at the direction of and for the benefit of Donald J. Trump, and we will stop him in November.
Michael Cohen, you can catch him on his new YouTube channel, The Michael Cohen Show, also his podcast, Mea Culpa, his books, Disloyal and Revenge, a new one coming out. Michael Cohen, thank you so much. You're welcome anytime. Please come back and talk to us.
You know that I will. Thank you, Todd, and thank you, Matt.
Our pleasure. Come on back with Matt Flynn after this.
The Todd Alba Show is part of the Civic Media Radio Network and airs across the network weekdays from noon till 2. To learn more about this show and all of the Civic Media programming, check out the website at civicmedia.us/shows.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Up North News Radio.
ABC News, I'm Derek Dennis. An attempted assassination, that's how the FBI and the Secret Service are investigating a shooting today at former President Trump's International Golf Course in Palm Beach, Florida. The suspect and a gun now in police custody.
In the bushes where this guy was is an AK-47 style rifle with a scope, two backpacks which were hung on the fence that had ceramic tile in them, and a GoPro which he was going to take pictures of.
Palm Beach County Sheriff Rick Bradshaw, the gunfire heard within Trump's earshot as he golfed on the fifth hole.
The FBI has now taken the lead on the investigation into a shooting that took place on or near the Trump International Golf Course in West Palm Beach, Florida. In a statement email sent in the minutes after the incident, Trump says he is safe and well. The White House says both President Biden and Vice President Harris have been briefed on the situation. Harris posted on social media she is glad the former president is safe, adding, "Violence has no place."
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
The Packers get the win. Hi, I'm Jimmy Cusco with Sports, filling in for Mike Clemens. Green Bay got a 10-point lead in the first half and stayed ahead of Indianapolis the rest of the way, intercepting a late Hail Mary attempt and taking a 16-10 victory at Lambeau Field today. Malik Willis threw his first touchdown pass of his career and finished with 122 yards passing and 41 yards rushing. Josh Jacobs ran for 151 yards. The defense got three interceptions in the win. Former Badgers and current Colts running back Jonathan Taylor had 103 yards rushing and 32 yards receiving against Green Bay. The Packers play Tennessee a week from today. Yesterday, it was Alabama blowing out Wisconsin 42-10 in college football. Wisconsin has a week off before playing at number 11 USC on September 28th. It was a wild night in Arizona as the Brewers piled up 15 runs in a 15-8 win over the Diamondbacks. The win reduced the Brewers' magic number to 3. Same two teams, Brewers and Diamondbacks, will play again this afternoon. Filling in for Mike Clemens, I'm Jimmy Cuska with Civic Media Sports.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, slight chance of a thunderstorm. Otherwise, mostly sunny and a high of 82. Partly cloudy, 60 tonight, 82 and mostly sunny for Monday. For Tuesday, sunshine and breezy with a high near 81. Remaining above normal for Wednesday with a high near 80.
Right now, it's 82.
Travel back in time and experience the magic of the Minnesota Renaissance Festival. Journey through a world of armored knights, joking jesters, and enchanting fair maidens. Every weekend, August 17th through September 29th, thrill to live combat jousting, feasting on turkey legs, and shopping hundreds of unique artisans. Bring the whole family for unforgettable fun. Get your discounted tickets today at renaissancefest.com. Find your magic at the Minnesota Renaissance Festival.
Looking for a roundup of the day's important headlines in quick podcast format? Search no more. Find it now on the WBZH website at buzzofthenorth.com. Your news just for the Superior area. I'm James Kelly with WBZH News.
The Todd Alba Show.
Going back to this interview we just had, again, many thanks to Michael Cohen, former attorney and fixer for Donald Trump. Let's go back to the phone lines. Don in Milwaukee. Don, thanks for holding. What say you?
My God, I've been listening to your station, Civic Media, for a long time, and this was a blockbuster. I was absolutely riveted.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Matt Nair on air.
Wisconsin Public Radio, Dodge County clerks backtrack on using drop boxes after concerns from Republican sheriff in order to prevent the perception of voter fraud.
What is he citing as any sort of proof of concern about this?
Gut feeling.
Oh, it's just
a gut feeling.
Yeah, inherently.
Feel it in your bones.
Yes,
right?
Exactly.
Matt Nair on air, weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Jane Matinere and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Andra Watkins returns. She grew up in a Christian nationalist household and can tell us how that relates to Project 2025. It's not good. Don't miss it.
Matinere on air, weekday mornings at 10.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome back to the Civic Media Spotlight. Next up, we go to Matinere on air. With Greg Bach filling in for Jane this week, along with guest co-host Angela Lang, they talked to Earl Ingram about 2024 Labor Fest, as well as how unions have enabled people to live the American dream and how Milwaukee is the quote-unquote machine shop of the world.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome back to Matinere on Air. My name is Greg Bach, sitting in for Jane Matinere, who is currently on vacation. We'll be coming back to the show on Monday. Hopefully she is well-rested and vacated and relaxed. Yes. Can't wait to see her. And we have Angela Lang, the executive director of Block, Black Leaders Organized in Our Communities, as our guest host today. Hello, Angela.
Hello.
And as always, the board lord, Sweet Kelby.
Woo-woo.
Woo-woo, as the kids say. Calvin, how you doing?
I'm doing well.
We're doing even better now because we have a guest in house, the very wonderful, the beloved Earl Ingram of the Earl Ingram Show here on Civic Media. You can listen to that show from 8 to 10 every morning, Monday through Friday. Earl, welcome to Matinere on Air. How are you doing this week?
I'm always doing well, man. Yeah. Anytime we come from celebrating labor.
Yeah,
my heart is always full and warm.
And you were at Labor Fest. You go every year, right?
Absolutely. I've been a part of Labor Fest for now 40 years.
Oh, my God. Wow.
Or more.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And you know, we were talking about it before we went on the air, and I knew that you joined the labor union at 18. You've talked about that before, but what I didn't know until now is that you actually have it in your blood before that. Like, it's a family thing for you. Your father was in the union.
Absolutely.
Can you tell us about, like, your family's history with the labor movement?
So it was not only my family, but when the Great Migration from the South took place in this nation, and many blacks from the South migrated to the North because for these jobs and out west for these factory jobs that were available because World War II was taking place. Mm-hmm. And many of the people who normally held those jobs wound up in fighting the war. Then, these manufacturers wound up, including the plant that I worked at, instead of producing the automobiles and things that they were producing, they started producing munitions. Mm-hmm. And so many of the whites who were normally in those factories wound up going to fight in the wars because blacks at the time weren't exactly welcome to do that. And so it opened the door for women and men, black men, to both come and start working in those factories. And so many blacks migrated. My father, as well as many others, wound up, coming up north and then going into factories and, living and making great wages and living middle-class lifestyles. They're able to live a middle-class lifestyle and live the American dream. And so I had a father who was able to do that, even though he had 13 children.
That was the thing you said that blew my mind. You said your father had 13 children and were able to support a family on a union wage, all 13, and live a good life.
One person working.
Yeah.
It wasn't the exception. It was the rule.
Yeah.
At that point in time.
And we're hearing a lot of people talk about, well, if women just were stay home and take care of the kids, and we have they speak as if one income nowadays in 2024 can magically take care of a family, even of one, two, or three kids. But that's not the case. It's because we don't have unions fighting for strong contracts that bring good wages that could possibly do that. But that's not the case. So they make it seem like back when you're dad was working, well, that was just it was easy to do. But that's not the case anymore because we don't have that union presence in business because the unions have gone away because the jobs in at least in Milwaukee have changed.
Well, a couple of things. Number one, the unions back in 1983, over 20% of this nation was a part of a union.
Mm-hmm.
Contrast that today with only 10%.
Yeah.
And the private unions especially, which have taken the hardest brunt, the hardest hit the ones who have suffered the most. And, you know, you look at the government unions, mm-hmm. and 37% of the people who work for the government are unionized.
Just 37%.
Well, yeah, but that's still pretty good, yeah. considering private unions only make up 7%. When you talk about government unions, you're talking about the police, the fire, educators. You're talking about people who work in the government. Many of those people are involved in unions, and so they're protected, and they have not suffered like the private unions have. Republicans went after private unions and intentionally destroyed private unions, and led people to believe that people who worked in unions were lazy and shiftless. And, you know, we live in a nation that talks about rugged individualism. Mm. And so they've led people to believe that you don't need the support of unions. You can make it on your own. And so there are people who don't, like now, 90% of the American people don't belong to unions. And so they don't know the value of the union. They don't know what transpired because they don't see that. And so I think more than anything else, we've got to get people to understand exactly what unions' purpose are. And why it's, you know, we've kind of went down this rabbit hole once they start destroying unions intentionally.
Mm-hmm. So understanding and what you had talked about of your upbringing and how you were able, you and your family were able to sustain and how that has drastically changed. What do you see as the future of the labor movement, also specifically in Wisconsin?
Future of the labor movement is something has to be tied into educating the American people to the value of a union. When 90% of the American people don't know anything about unions, when I say they don't know about it, they don't know enough about it to understand the value of it. And I don't blame them. They haven't lived that experience. And so they don't realize that what they make can be tied into, group reality as opposed to individual. Yes, there are individuals who can overcome and may be able to navigate a system set up in this nation the way it is, but the majority of the American people can't do that on their own. And that's the reason why so many people are suffering and struggling today, because they are dealing with a system that is almost impossible to crack individually.
Mm-hmm.
If the unions were so horrible, why are the police and fire prospering through them? Why are the educators prospering through them? Why are the tradespeople prospering? Those are the major unions that still exist, and those are the ones who know the value of it. We've got to get the rest of the American people to understand what they know.
Yeah.
You said that when you joined the union when you were 18.
That's correct.
And it says in the booklet you showed, you worked for A.O. Smith for 34 years. Talk to us about just that time at A.O. Smith and what being in the union helped get you, as you know, a good wage, supporting a family. You talk about your middle class life that you were able to lead because of that. Tell the people of that, like from the, you know, kind of give us an overview from.
So it was not just A.O. Smith. It was Alan Bradley, Alex Sharma, Slitz, Miller, American Can, Continental Can, Babcock and Wilcox. We were an industrial metropolis.
Yeah.
Milwaukee was called, was called the machine shop of the world, not of the state or the country, of the world. So we produced everything in this city. And so when I graduated in 1972 and was scheduled to go to the University of Stout, my father told me, and I said, well, I'm going to go work at A.O. Smith and make me some money. And he said, don't go. But he couldn't explain to me that if I went, I would be attracted to the money.
Yeah.
And I would never leave there and go to college. But I will say this, it's the best dead-end job somebody could possibly have. You were able to take your children on vacations, to buy a home, to save money, to live the American dream.
Yeah.
Everybody who was involved in industry back then was able to live the American dream.
Yeah.
Make enough money to put away, to send your kids to college, get a pension that I've been living on now for over 20 years that allows me to live a strong middle-class lifestyle. And even after I'm gone, that pension will then support my wife even after I'm gone. These are the things that unions brought to people.
Yeah.
Security, an opportunity to live that American dream that no longer exists in the private sector, but continues to thrive, you know, in the governmental sector.
Absolutely. And that's something that, you know, we see a lot of young people, you know, I'm between the generations, but them, when they speak about, you know, not being able to afford a home, not being able to move out of the house, not being able, you know, they struggle with finances because the job opportunities are so different than where they were when you were 18 years old and having the opportunity to walk into A.O. Smith, get a job. And as you, I mean, I know you're laughing, but like it was a career for you and it was, but.
No, I'm not laughing.
No. I mean, but you laugh when you call it the best dead end right. job you ever had. Yeah, exactly.
Right.
But it's making young people aware of that, like there are union jobs out there. There are career vocations out there going and not just working at a machine shop, but also like going to a tech school and getting trained for a job that'll put you in the union that will get you a great wage. And that skill never goes away.
Right.
Man, let me respond to that because it's what I do all the time. And it's what we talked about yesterday at Labor Fest. Labor Fest used to be the tradespeople, the private unions and the governmental unions, everybody all together. The private unions have since kind of been depleted, but Labor Fest is mainly many of the people who are in the trades who live strong upper middle class lifestyles. An electrician, a plumber, a steam fitter, a carpenter. Those people make over $100,000 a year. Inside of 5 years, you'll be able to make $100,000 in those trades. And I tell you what, as all these other jobs are offshored or you know, technology replaces them, they'll never replace a plumber, electrician, a steam fitter, a tool and die maker. And these guys make more money on the side almost than they do working. You ever need to call a carpenter? You ever need to call a plumber?
Yeah.
And many times it's the people who do that for a living and work for a company, but then make more on the side almost than they do doing that. And that's all legal.
So as someone that's like worked in the labor movement and organized and all of that, and I think seeing kind of the evolution of labor in the last 10 years, especially in Wisconsin, and seeing things how they've changed, I think it's also worth noting that no membership of any organization is homogenous, right? And so there is a divide, I think, in some labor folks, and everything that you say about making sure that there is a higher quality of life for union members. But yet you had the president of the Teamsters speak at the RNC, and there are some union folks that are what I feel voting against their interest because the people that want these higher standards and livable wages and benefits are not folks that were at the RNC. Can you speak a little bit about that?
So as I interviewed many union members on yesterday at Labor Fest that we're going to wind up playing back in the next few days, one of the things that I clearly spoke to them about, especially the hierarchy of the union and the labor movement, was that tradespeople vote Republican. And we had that conversation because it's absolutely correct.
Yep.
And in one of the responses from one of them, he mainly talked about the fact that they didn't realize when you weren't there at the beginning and you don't realize that people had sacrificed in order for you to get those benefits and get where you are, you don't know the history of it.
Right, we're going to keep this conversation going on the other side of the break. We got Earl Ingram as our guest for on this Tuesday. Angela Lang is our guest co-host. Calvin on the boards. My name is Greg Bach. You're listening to Matt and Air on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Matt and Air on Air is part of the Civic Media Radio Network and airs across the network weekday mornings from 10 till noon. To learn more about this show and all of the Civic Media programming, check out the website at civicmedia.us/shows. This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Over the past 20 years, Wisconsin has seen a huge increase in reported elder abuse cases. Elder abuse is the verbal, physical, emotional, sexual, or financial abuse of a senior citizen. It can also be the intentional or unintentional neglect of an older person. Wisconsin's population of seniors 65 and older is projected to grow significantly in the coming decades. That's why we all share the responsibility to help protect our seniors by recognizing and reporting any signs of elder abuse. If you believe that elder abuse has been inflicted upon yourself or someone you know, please report it. Call the Wisconsin Elder Abuse Hotline toll-free at 1-833-586-0107 or visit reportelderabusewi.org. Respect our elders. Report abuse. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Department of Justice.
This project is supported by the Administration for Community Living, ACL, U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, HHS, as part of a financial assistance award totaling $120,000 with 100% funding by ACL HHS. The contents are those of the authors and do not necessarily represent the official views of nor an endorsement by ACL HHS or the U.S. government.
You're listening to WBZH, Hayward's home for the Todd Allball Show.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Wrapping up Civic Media Spotlight for this week, we go to the Maggie Dawn Show. And on a new segment for the show called Yes, Chef, talking about food and culture, she welcomes in Chef Adam Pollock from the Egg and Flour Pasta Bar.
Welcome back, Wisconsin! It's our very first, our ceremonial first pitch, if you will, of the segment called Yes, Chef, and it wouldn't be Yes, Chef without a chef. He's Adam Pollock. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Again, thanks so much, Adam. There's probably nothing that I could talk about sports and food for like untold amounts of time, but probably eventually I could talk about food more because it's infinitely interesting to me. I hope everybody at home finds it interesting as well. If you have questions for Chef Adam or me or a comment, feel free to give us a call or text.
Send them through, right?
Yeah, we want to hear from you. 855-75-CIVIC. That's 855-752-4842. But I wanted to ask you a question about getting some skills related to butchering things. Now, I have been around when friends of mine have been deer hunting and they've field dressed a deer. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm like, I would like to know and take a class or figure out how to actually butcher not just a side of beef, but other game as well. I have gained the basic skills to break down a whole chicken. I can do that. Probably not as well as I should. But is this something I can like YouTube and learn? Or what's the best way to learn how to butcher things properly? Because it makes a big difference.
So, definitely, I would say you don't have to go with like sides of animals because I mean, that's what the butchers are usually getting in into the primals and then breaking those down. But it is nice to be able to, you know, take a tenderloin and do that or cut that into your own steaks or take a whole rib roast and maybe cut that into steaks or whatever it is. You brought up chicken. Poultry is like something that's a lot more difficult and it just takes more finesse, but I would definitely start if you have interest to start by watching some videos and then look out for classes, you know, whether it's a Sur La Table, whether it's a butcher shop is actually hosting it. I believe the Polish Center of Milwaukee, Joe Parajeki does butcher shop classes where you can make sausage or learn how to cut meat. Or, you know, if you're really, really into it, maybe you can go to a butcher shop and say, hey, let me put everything on and watch you and let me get in. And who knows what they say? It depends, I guess, on their insurance company. We'll see what happens.
So the smaller and the longer in existence, the more family oriented the butcher shop, the better odds I get.
They might, yeah.
Yeah, I could just see me rolling it in with my hairnet on, ready to go. Like, hey, let me add it. Let me see.
Exactly. I'll give a shout out to Ray's Butcher Shop. That's where I go for my stuff.
Yeah, Ray's is amazing. I'll definitely check out the Polish Center. And my fish filleting skills are coming along slowly. That is a skill gained only by sheer repetition. I won't even get into the boning of fish. I have not done that perfectly ever. But you've run restaurants before. You've worked in lots of them. And I like to ask every chef that comes on the show this question, because it happens a lot. And that is, hey, you're a diner in a restaurant and you don't like there's a plate of food in front of you and something isn't right, or you're displeased with it. What do you want a customer in one of your restaurants to do if they don't like what they're eating? And there's two versions, right? There's a hair in my soup. That's one problem. You let the server know that's going to be corrected. But if they don't like it, or it wasn't to their taste, or it's not really what they expected, what do you want somebody to do in that situation?
Okay, this is a huge thing, and I'm so happy that I can get this out to the public or the people that are listening, and I want them to take this seriously because it makes all the difference. So we'll start with what not to do first, and then we'll go into what to do. So what not to do is say nothing, pay for the bill, give them a really crappy tip because you didn't like the food or whatever, but the service might have been okay. Go home, rush to the computer, and write a bad review. Okay? No one should ever do that ever again that's listening to this segment right now. Okay? Let's just erase that out of what people should be doing after dining. If you're at a restaurant, this is what we're going to do. Let's say you get, a steak and it's over. Obviously, you can say, hey, this isn't to my liking. But if it's something that doesn't taste right or you don't like it, ask your server when they come over, say, hey, you don't have to apologize for not liking something either. You don't have to be like, I'm sorry to bother you. I'm sorry, but I just don't like it. It's more so like, hey, this isn't something that I thought would turn out this way, or I think there might be something wrong with the way that it was cooked or something like that. Is there any way that I could get something else on the menu? Or I can get the same thing maybe prepared a little bit differently. See what the outcome of that. I guarantee 9 out of 10 times the restaurant is going to be more than happy to take care of you. Let them know, say, even if you want to throw it in there and say, hey, I'm not the type of person that complains, or I don't want to go home and write a review. I really just want to have a great experience and enjoy what you guys are serving and who's cooking and everything, the full package. And I guarantee they will have the respect for you. They will love to hear a customer that might have a problem. Some kitchens, they have an off day. That doesn't mean the whole restaurant as a whole is a bad place, or that you've gone one time and it was amazing. You go the next time, it was bad. So then you're like, I'm not going again. It's like, you got to remember, people that are in the restaurant industry are human, whether it's the hostess, the server, it could be the valet guy, it could be anything, the chef, the cooks, the dishwasher. You have to just remember that it's all moving parts. It's human interaction. Nowadays, there's more robots cooking food, but I'm sure the restaurants that we're talking about, people have a bad day or people need to be on or there could be a mistake. And I guarantee we would rather make a new dish or make it to your liking right then and there while you're there than seeing that one-star review or that bad review or whatever it is. So I'm really glad that you opened that conversation up. But I think people should be more open about not liking something while they're in the restaurant instead of leaving and then talking about it. That doesn't help anything.
That's Chef Adam Pavlak of Egg and Flour, located in Bayview, Wisconsin. Handcrafted pasta. Incredible. I've had your food a bunch of times. I love it, Adam. And from Adam's lips to your ears, if you don't like it and you're in a restaurant, say something so they can make you happy. That's what they're in the business to do. We'll see you next week, Chef, on our next installment of Yes, Chef. I can't believe we're already out of time. Thank you so much.
I know. We have so much to talk about.
We do. And we've got every Tuesday at 2:30. Keep it locked, everybody. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. Maggie and the Millionaires is up next.
Yes, Chef.
The Maggie Dawn Show is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH. Pete Schwaba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome entertainment critic and CityCast Madison newsletter editor Rob Thomas. And tis the season, so we'll talk about our favorite political movies.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 till 8.
Some big ideas being shared at the Cap Times Idea Fest in Madison. Civic Media is proud to be a part of it and will broadcast the live one-on-one discussion with Nancy Pelosi. Hear what the first female Speaker of the House thinks about the state of politics and the presidential election, Monday, September 16th at 7:30 p.m. Live coverage of Nancy Pelosi from Idea Fest, Monday night, September 16th at 7:30 on your local Civic Media radio station.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
This is the Buzz of the North, WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.